The portal is popping and it's closing season. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast live edition with C5. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it just like we do every Sunday evening. Every Sunday evening, we get together, we have some therapy, and we talk and we have some fun and ask some questions, and we're going to do that again tonight. We're going to talk about the portal popping off. A little bit of just overall portal talk in general. Got possibly another decommit incoming, and then we'll talk about how we're going to finish this class off strong and hopefully chase that elusive number one class. It's still in reach. It's still in reach. We'll get to that in just a second, but before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. You give them $100, they're gonna multiply it by three, give it to you in free play, win big there, then take it to the sports book, bet any way you can possibly, any sports you can possibly think of, any way you can possibly think of betting, they got it. Check them out there, mybookie.ag. I say the portal's popping. It's not technically popping yet. It's not open until December the 9th, which I guess is next Monday or midnight. On Sunday, I guess still technically midnight would still be Monday, but regardless, you understand what I'm saying. At midnight on December 9th, the portal will officially open and children will be able to put their names in officially to be contacted by other coaches and be able to sort of start trying to find their next place that they're going to play football. So, but up until then, there's going to be a ton of kids that go ahead and let them put it out there that they intend to enter the portal. And Auburn had two players put that out there today that they would they intend to enter the portal when it opens. And that was Holden Gierner and Micah Riley Ducker. Holden, one of the few holdovers, I guess one of the few remaining kids from the Harsin era that a lot of people thought would probably go in the portal probably multiple times. There's been opportunities that people thought, hey, Holden's going to go in now. Holden's going to go in now. But I think he was really smart and he graduated. So now he technically, well, I guess you can graduate as many times as you want to, but hey, get the degree, get that over with, and now you still have plenty of time that you can go find a spot and get some really good playing time in college. No idea where his landing spot would be. He's from, I think, Savannah, Georgia. So I don't know if there's some of those colleges in Georgia, some smaller schools somewhere that would want to take a chance on him. I think he's got some talent. I think he can be a really good G5 type quarterback and maybe build himself up into being a draft pick with some playing time, putting up some really good numbers, but just never really worked out at Auburn. But he loved Auburn and he hung in there as long as he could until he really just didn't have an opportunity to play. There wasn't really a pathway for him to play anymore. And he's going to go ahead and go into the portal, but he is going to be an Auburn graduate. And I think very highly of him. He always did what he was asked to do. Never really heard much from him as far as being a problem, as far as hounding for holding anyone hostage for NIL. He just kind of did what he, did his thing, and he's going to go into the portal and we'll, obviously wish him the best. So that one to me makes a lot of sense. Holden, to me that makes sense. You got Walker White behind you. You got Deuce Knight, hopefully, coming in that you're going to close out and sign on Wednesday. You're looking to possibly bring in a portal quarterback or two this portal period. There just wasn't really a pathway, so it made a lot of sense. The next one doesn't make a ton of sense to me. And again, I don't know the whole situation. And if I did, I wouldn't talk about it, you know, 100% out there, especially if it was something, you know, going on that, that didn't need to be out there. But Micah Riley, who is also a Harsin signee, I think he was the highest ranked signee of the class that he came in from Nebraska. He decides that he's going to enter the portal. And Auburn loses every tight end this year. They lose every tight end except for him and Rico Walker. It feels like he would be able to step right into the role next year. It kind of seems like it'd be his job to lose. I know Auburn's bringing in two freshmen tight end. I don't really see either one of those necessarily being huge factors year one. So Auburn's definitely going to have to go to the portal now. And I've been told they've already kind of, you know, there's a few guys out there that Auburn's got their eye on should they decide to enter the portal. I don't think this really came as a huge surprise. I liked his intensity. I liked the way he played. He caught a couple of touchdowns for Auburn, which is great. Wish him the best. Again, I don't know all the details of the situation. I do know that there was times, even after his first season, there was talks about him maybe being homesick, you know, maybe wanting to go back to Nebraska. So I'll be wondering if that's possibly a landing spot for him. I think it'd be a good spot for him. I think that program is sort of – I know they sort of took a step back a little bit this year, but I think that Matt Rhule's doing a decent job there. That might be a good good spot for him to go back. Portal drama. When there's portal talk, there's going to be some portal drama. And I got my man Thomas Jones. He's got a I think I got an idea what his question or what his comment's going to be. But we got a comment coming in. I'll be on the lookout for it. But back to the portal drama. There was shortly after Holden's announcement went out. There was another announcement from On3 that Hank intended to enter the portal. And you're thinking, man, Auburn's lost two quarterbacks today. The only quarterback officially that's on the roster that's going to be returning is Walker White. And I think a lot of people kind of freaked out about that. Understandably so, because that'd be put Auburn in a pretty tough spot. Even if obviously you can go to the portal to get guys, that will put you in a tough spot. Well, it turns out that rumor may have been not run by Hank. Let's just put it by that. Let's just put it that way. The rumor Hank going into the portal or intending to go to the portal was not cleared with Hank. Zach, I think multiple people have reported that they've talked with Hank. I think Hank plans to meet with the staff this week, and there was really no intention until they get that final word on the plan of how Hank. There's a pathway for Hank to play quarterback in Auburn. Now, that pathway may not be for 2025, but it absolutely could be for 2026. So if this is just me now. I'm not Hank. I'm not Hank's agent. I'm not Hank's, anybody, okay? I'm just a fan, okay? If I'm Hank, anywhere that you go now is going to be there in 2 years as well. I'm sorry, a year and a half as well, okay? Or not even a year and a half, 1 year from now. Anywhere that you decide to go today or on the 9th or anytime during the portal period, that will be there in 2026. So if you want to go now, that's one thing. But if you want to have a chance to possibly play in the SEC, I feel like the opportunity to, come in and compete for 2025 and kind of at least see where you stand on the depth chart moving into 2026 when it's a battle royale between possibly Hank, Walker White, and Deuce. To me, that makes a lot more sense than, going now. If your aspiration is to play, in the SEC or play big-time college football, otherwise, if it's UAB to go play with your former head coach Trent Dilfer or, like a Middle Tennessee State or a UTSA or someone like that, I think that'll still be there in 2 years. I don't know that I would take that chance, but that's just, again, that's just me, and I'm an Auburn fan, and I'm not necessarily thinking about it from their perspective. But hopefully he gets the clarity that he needs, and they can kind of put this behind them, because this is an unnecessary jumping of the gun that kind of puts Hank in maybe even a little bad light, kind of puts just undue stress on him right now that's not necessarily needed, just trying to kind of be first, I guess. But regardless, he has no intentions right now of going into the portal. So now that doesn't mean he won't. He may not get the answers that he's looking for, and he will. But as of now, he has not notified staff. So if there's reports of that, not true. He has not notified staff. Nobody has notified anybody that he intends to go into the portal. So that is 100% just completely untrue. That's from Hank himself. Okay, so anytime that there's portal action, there's going to be portal drama, and it just sort of kind of is what it is. Now, let's go from specific people, and let's just talk about the portal in general. These won't be the last names. These won't be the last names that you hear from Auburn. Okay, I'm not going to speculate on names that you should prepare to hear for, because I think that's kind of tacky, and I think you saw that play out today. What kind of ordeal that can create. Okay. I don't think it's, unless a child tells me himself, hey, C5, I'm going to the portal. You're welcome to put that out there. Then I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to answer questions on, hey, will so-and-so go in the portal? I'm just not going to do that. Because I don't think that's very above the fray. I think that gets, I don't know. It makes me feel weird to talk about kids that could be leaving, or because then you kind of put it out there that you may desire them to leave. And that's just not cool to me. I'm not going to speculate on names. We'll talk about guys that once they go in, we'll talk about guys if someone has a quote from them and says they intend to enter, we'll talk about it then. But otherwise, I don't really plan to speculate on that. I would, however, be prepared to lose maybe one or two from this freshman class. Just from the law of averages, I'd be prepared to maybe lose one for sure, at least, but maybe two as well. So it's impossible to say either one of them won't hurt, because that class was so loaded. So anybody is going to hurt your depth moving forward, but that's kind of the name of the game now. I'm not going to say are impatient. There's just so many avenues now for them to go and find a more opportunity, a better opportunity, a different opportunity, or just, hey, I'm homesick, I want to go home. It's super easy now to go home, and I can find a place to play. Just be prepared for that. But with all that being said, don't forget, we're on the prowl too. Okay, Will Redman, this is what Will Redman lives for. Okay, this is where Will Redman earns all of his prestige. This is where he earns his title. This is where he earns his reputation. Okay, so yes, we're going to lose some players, but we're going to add some too. And we're going to add some really good ones. So understand that just because people are leaving, does not mean that Auburn's not getting ready to go replace them. You got to understand that. So when we're freaking out every time somebody goes into the portal, just understand, as soon as December 9th hits and we can start bringing kids on campus, they're going to be lined up and they're going to be ready to come. And again, this is what Will Redman does. This is why you brought him here. So I think we need to be patient on freaking out until, you know, something like that, until we actually start to see the plan unfold about the kids that we plan to bring in, to replace those guys. All right, so moving from portal to recruiting, you had Traverse Dice, and you have now Donovan Starr. You lost Traverse Dice officially to a flip You're still battling, and I don't think that door is completely closed. It's most of the way closed. I don't think it's completely closed. You're going to have to battle. You're going to have to work the phones to see if there's something that you can remedy there. And then Donovan Starr, who just visited Alabama this weekend, said on his visit to Auburn the previous week that he was close to shutting it down, or he mostly shut it down, or basically he said some good things, but it still left the door open that he could possibly flip. And I do think he's going to eventually flip. He may be flipped by the time you're hearing this to Alabama. The one thing I think people are going to try to take this and use this is as a, like a canary in the coal mine situation. Oh, this is it. This is the class falling apart. But the problem is these guys, ever since they were committed, and this is no knock on them, but ever since they've been committed, they have flirted elsewhere. Treverus Dice has flirted with Florida ever since he's been committed to Auburn. Okay, it just is what it is. And eventually they won out. When Florida decided to pony up and get behind Billy instead of threatening to fire him every week, they became a lot more of a realistic it became a lot more realistic that could work. He can work there. Okay. And it seems like Treverus Dice just wanted to go to Florida. Now, can Auburn win out? We'll have to see how that plays out. But I don't think this is the class is falling apart. Just look, there goes Treverus Dice. There goes Donovan Starr. Treverus Dice was flirting the entire time, even when things were good this summer, when things were hot this summer, even after Deuce committed. Doesn't matter. He was always flirting with Florida, and it just kind of is what it is there. Donovan Starr, it's a guy you got on early. His ranking started to shoot up, he seemed to continue to want to visit elsewhere. Visited Georgia a couple of weeks ago. He's high on Vanderbilt. He's been high on Alabama. Came to Auburn and visited Alabama this weekend. And unfortunately, the way the recruiting calendar works, Auburn just happens to have an away game as the last game. So you weren't able to be the last voice that he hears. But it does seem like because of the timing, and then obviously, you know, Alabama and his ranking going up and continue to work on him, and then the prospects of who else Auburn has to bring in the class, just didn't work. It just seemed like he had been flirting elsewhere this whole time as well, and eventually he was going to be a flip. I think Auburn tried really hard to keep him. Felt like last weekend they felt good about it, and then, you know, he just had a great visit this weekend, and he got to spend the whole weekend there, and then he doesn't get to go anywhere else. It's just it. That's how the calendar ends. It ends tonight at midnight. It's a dead period. They can't visit anywhere else. It's just phones, text messages, and that's pretty much it. So again, those two guys, both of them, flirted the entire time they were committed. That's just the reality of the situation. If you start losing guys that seemingly have been locked in for a long time, then, you know, then I would start to worry. I don't think these are a canary in the coal mine type situation, though. So last thing, and then we're going to get to the questions. Auburn's still looking to close strong for signing day. You're hoping for some signing day fireworks. You got, obviously, the big one, Naeem Offord, five-star corner from Parker High School. He's announced that he's going to have an announcement on signing day, already committed. So why do you have a announcement when you're already committed? He's playing an announcement. I don't think Ohio State's in the running. I think it's Auburn and Oregon. I do think Oregon is going to try to play hardball as much as they possibly can, and they got all of the resources to be able to do that. And they're going to throw everything they can at Naeem over this period of time. At the end of the day, I just think it's too far away for him. I think he's going to be a Tiger, and I think you're going to have a big bang of fireworks, and he picks Auburn on Wednesday as it sits right now. You have Usman Chroma, who Georgia kid, Georgia commit. Auburn values this kid way more than Georgia does. It's going to be sad if he sticks with Georgia. I feel really good about him coming to Auburn. I don't think Georgia values him. I don't think they've appreciated him. I think they've taken it for granted, just based off the stories that I've heard. And I hope that he sees through it. I really do. I hope that he sees that and ends up being a Tiger on. I think it's also going to be a signing day announcement. So we'll see how that one goes. There's some things that make me feel like there's things that make me feel good about Auburn. And then there's obviously the Georgia connection that's just too much. I think that sometimes it's just too much to overcome. But I like where Auburn stands, and I think it's going to be a battle all the way down to signing day. You got Darian Smith, the Tennessee commitment. I think he plans a signing day announcement, so that will be one to watch, possibly pulling off a flip, a defensive lineman you really want that's a playmaker and a freak athlete. You heard Blake Woodby talk about him and say he's the most athletic defensive lineman he's seen at his high school, which is a high school that comes with a bunch of just loaded they come with, you know, tons of very, very talented kids. So it speaks a lot. And then you got Justice Terry, who's actually announcing on announcing on Wednesday. He's going to announce on Friday, the 6th. And I believe Auburn is a little bit starting to become more than just a dark horse in this commitment. I mean, in this recruitment. So if you can land all four of those, there's a pathway to number one. You just have to see how the chips fall with the other schools. Texas is going to make a charge. Oregon is going to make a charge. So there's a lot of guys that there's a lot of other schools that could make a charge to get up to that number one spot. Auburn would need to have a sweep of all these to really have a shot. But I think I don't think it's completely unrealistic to think that's possible. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's going to be it for me. So I'm ready to get in the chat, and I got to find my man, Thomas Jones. I already know his topic. I already know what his topic is, but I can't find it. I cannot find it. There it is. There it is. Here we go. Thomas Jones. Oh man. That's not what I thought it was. Let me take that down. Everyone is thinking it, but I'm going to say Malachi Moore is not a nice person. I was not expecting that part. And Hugh Freeze is 0 for the season on trick plays. Stop the madness. I did text him about this. I was shortly after, I think, the sweet pass. And I said that, hey, I think that is officially puts us at I think that officially puts us at 0 for the season, 0% for the season in double pass scenarios. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Auburn complete a double pass? I don't think so. I don't hate trick plays, okay? But golly, we were snake bit. Sometimes I don't think they were 100% needed. That play in particular, I understand you wanted to try to create a spark. I understand that your quarterback was struggling a little bit and you were sort of coming up empty, and you had that one. And I was very impressed by Jarquez's arm in general. I couldn't believe that, I couldn't believe that he ripped one like he did. He just kind of threw it a little bit too far inside. But yeah, I understand you why you did it. I don't know that you had to win it on that play. I don't think you had to score on that play. I don't know that the situation was quite as dire as it to need to call that play right then. So, but hey, we're 0 for the season. 0 for the season on trick plays, on double passes. So we either got to, A, work on better ones or work on executing them better, or just, hey, let's just don't do those anymore. And hopefully you get to the point where you don't need to run those. You're just, your traditional offense is good enough. Got another one, Daryl Dapprich fan. This one's tough. C5, if you had to rank each of these losing seasons in order, where would you rank them 1 through 4? All right, so 2021 is Harsin's first year. 2022 is Harsin's second year. And then you got Hugh's first 2 years. All right, so let's go with this. I would say this year's the most disappointing. So I would put this at number one. I would put Harsin's first year at number two. I will put Hughes first year at number three. And then I would put Harsin's second year at number four, even though it was the worst record because I wanted him gone. once you had the issues with the recruiting, once you didn't even remotely try in the portal, once you didn't even remotely try to do like the little things off the field, the events, the stuff like that, I was like, you got to cut bait with this. Like you can give someone time if they're doing the little things right. Okay. If they're at least trying to build instead of just, you know, whatever the heck Harsin was doing, I can give you a little bit more rope. But if you're not even trying, then you got to go. You got to go. So I think I would go. This year's the most disappointing. Harsin's first year was second. Then I'd go Hughes' first year is third, and then Harsin's second year, fourth. Is that okay? I think that's pretty fair. Let's see. Let's hit it. Let's discuss this. I don't understand why they didn't run the offense through Hunter. I want to deep dive, and I want to ask a question to the chat, and I want to hear your answers. Okay. Does the offense work by giving Jarquez more carries, or does Jarquez getting more? Hold on, let me make sure I ask this right. Does the offense work by getting Jarquez more carries, or does the offense working get Jarquez more carries? That's the question I have. So it's like a chicken or the egg type situation. Because the reason I ask that is because I understand he only had 13 carries, and I understand that is not enough. Okay, I understand that you want to have him having, you know, close to 20 plus touches. Okay, so but I think the last nine carries that Jarquez had, he went for 9 yards. I think that's correct. Somewhere around that. The last nine carries were somewhere around 9 yards. What I've seen over the year is when teams know we're going to line up and run the ball, when teams know that there's, in other words, when we're going to do just a designed run, we struggled. I think that there's only really one game where it felt like we were trying to just pound the ball and it worked, and that was Kentucky. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe the answer was giving him more. Maybe you just keep running it. I don't know. But the offense against Georgia was bogged down. And that was one where you tried to get him. I felt like they tried to establish a run. It didn't work. You didn't get a lot of plays in and things like that. Missouri, same thing. Kentucky, it worked. Vanderbilt, it did not work. And then Alabama, they were not going to let Jarquez run the ball, period. They were daring Auburn to throw the ball. We're not going to let Jarquez get the ball. So maybe they could have figured out ways to get him the ball in the passing game more. But I just don't think. I mean, do we really think that? Let's just go with a pitch count. Jarquez, you got to get 20 carries, and that just works. I just don't think it goes that way. I think as there's balance and as the offense can get first downs and as you can get them on their heels, that's when Jarquez can make you pay. That's when he can hurt you. And I think my personal opinion, and I could be wrong, is Jarquez getting more carries or insert running back getting more carries doesn't make the offense better. I think that as the offense works, those running backs get more touches. That's just my opinion. Again, I could be wrong. I don't think our offensive line is good enough to blow people off the ball when they know we have to run the ball. I don't care if it's inside. I don't care if it's outside. I just don't think it works. I just don't think we're good enough yet. Now, we may get to that day. We may get to get there one day, but I just don't think we're good enough there yet. That's just my opinion. I could be way wrong, and I will relent that I'm not. I don't have all the answers, but I think it's a lot more complicated than just give Jarquez the ball more. But you know, what do I know? I'm just a guy talking on a podcast. I really don't have any. It just kind of is what it is. I'm not saying my opinion's better than yours. Again, I'm just a take guy. I just look at what I see and then just tell you what I see. So you could be right and I could be wrong and vice versa. So I got another super chat from Thomas Jones. Does Gus ever get a head coaching job again after leaving UCF like he did? I think Gus is about ready to call it quits. And that would be I think that's probably a sign of it. I don't think he wants to go to a G5 type school. You got a really nice lake house here in Lake Martin. He's got some grandkids around here too. And he's got, I don't know. I don't see that being a long-term marriage. And I think he may be ready to hang it up. So no, I don't think he'll ever be a head coach again. And I think that's by his choice. I think he could. I don't think he necessarily wants that. All right, let's keep going. This is a good one from Taylor Korn. So many rivalry game fights. Imagine Chad Baker Mazzara in a rivalry weekend football game. I got one. I got a better one for you. Chad, first of all, when you're in Maui, how can you be any more relaxed than when you're in Maui? And Chad wanted to fight people in Maui. He's going to try to fight the whole stadium when we go play Duke. He's going to try to fight everybody in the stands when we go to Duke. It's going to be awesome. I hope they can keep him in check because he plays with an intensity that is palpable, that you can feed off of. Jay, imagine KD Johnson. Yeah, I mean, if KD Johnson and Chad Baker Mazzara were on the same team and playing at Cameron Indoor, they would have to call the police. They would have to call the cops. They would fight everybody in the whole stadium. It would be crazy. It's going to be crazy on Wednesday. I can't wait for that game. I think it's going to be fun. I saw a good one. I want to mention it too. B. Palmer 636. Thorne is a likable kid. I have nothing against him off the field whatsoever. I think that's one of the things that was so tough because I do think he's a very likable guy. I do think he's I think he played really hard. I really do. I think he sacrificed his body a lot. I think he swallowed the mic a lot. He could have said a lot of things probably. And he didn't. But that still doesn't change the limitations. There were some limitations, but again, I can't be mad at him. I can't be mad at him for being like a turd. You know, I can't be mad at him for being, you know, a bad guy because he wasn't. He's a good dude. He came to Auburn at a tough time, and I think he played to the best of his abilities within the system. I just don't think it was a good match, and that's not his fault. It's not his fault. I keep saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and declare now. I hope Auburn can keep Charlie from entering the portal. I'm not going anywhere. My NIL is too good. NIL is way too good to leave. So I'm sticking here. I'm staying with Auburn. Let's see. Let's keep going. There's some good stuff in here. Keep going. There's some really good. Okay, here's a good one. Preston Herring. How much staff turnover do you think there will be this offseason? I'm a little bit worried about – this is just an opinion. This isn't really based on much intel. I'm a little bit worried about Marcus Davis now that Gus got hired at Florida State. I'm a little bit worried about that one. I think that could be a natural match. Obviously, he'll go play for his coach. He could go coach with his coach. But other than that, I mean, I know obviously people talk about special teams. Maybe there could be some changes there. Offensive line, I know that's been a hot topic, but I'm not sure that there's going to just be a ton of – I don't think there's going to be a ton of offensive staff turnover. Now, I could be way wrong. I think the biggest thing that I'm curious to see is if Hugh decides that he's going to continue to be the primary play caller, or if he wants to give that at least hire another guy to be the primary play caller and just sort of have input. I'm curious to see what happens with Ken Austin. I think that's the one to watch. And again, that's just an opinion. It's not based off of intel. I don't necessarily think Jake Thornton's the problem. I think the offensive line is just – it's really tough. It's really tough to rebuild. It's really tough to rebuild an offensive line from the depths that it's been when Hugh took over. And I think you got to go – you had some really good pieces, but you didn't have a good unit. And I think if you can – Connor Lue obviously gets to come back. Jeremiah Wright has another opportunity to come back. I think you probably keep those two. And honestly, I'm not sure if you really want to try to keep much else other than just the young guys that you already have. You got Dylan Wade. Dylan Wade's got another year. Do you want to battle to pay to keep him out of the NFL draft? Maybe. But I think the biggest thing is you go find two blockbuster, at least one, maybe two blockbuster tackles, or at least one blockbuster tackle and another interior guy, two or three from the offensive line, and try to build it and then just keep recruiting. You had a big recruiting class that you can develop. But again, I don't know that I see this just huge, complete gutting of the offensive staff. I don't know if that necessarily makes you feel happy or sad, but I don't think, I don't see that happening. I see a lot of Haynes King stuff. I don't think he's going anywhere. Georgia Tech kind of seems like they've got something going. I don't think Haynes King is going anywhere. He's a good player, though. I think he'd be pretty good in this system. He was a warrior in that game versus Georgia. So, I don't know. That'd be good. That'd be a good one. But I don't think he's going anywhere. This is an interesting B. Palmer. Hypothetically, if Auburn hired Kiffin, what does our record look like in year two? I don't know. I don't think it would be a ton different. I don't think it would be a ton different. I mean, the only thing that may be different, I do think Auburn has a little bit more. I think Auburn has a little bit more of a bigger NIL war chest than Ole Miss that he probably could have utilized maybe better in the portal. But I mean, high school recruiting we would have been pulling our hair out. So I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe a little bit better. Maybe a couple of games better. But I don't think much. And I don't know that that's the answer. I don't think he's the answer to long term. I mean, there's no reason they should have lost three games this year. There's the most talented roster that they've ever had. There's zero reason they should have lost three games this year. Let's see. Let's keep going through here. I don't want to speculate on particular people's names. So this was a question about Jeremiah Cobb. Is he going to transfer? I don't want to name specific players and then guess if they're going to go or not. I don't think that's cool. I don't think that's something that's I don't think that's worth. I just don't think that's worth the conversation at this point in time. I don't think it's fair to Jeremiah Cobb. Here's a good one. Mark Hilson, do you think Auburn keeps Deuce Knight? I do. I think Deuce is locked in. He had an official visit at Ole Miss, and he left after the game. So official visits were 48 hours. He could have stayed all the way till Sunday. He came all the way back to Lucedale. Okay. If you look on a map, Oxford is about if you want to be in Mississippi and get as far away from somewhere as possible, That's loose, the distance between Loosedale and Oxford. I think Deuce is going to be a tiger. I think it's going to be, we're probably going to have some trolling. There's probably going to be some stress. But at the end of the day, I just think he's one that you're not going to let get away, especially if it's NIL related, just one you're not going to be outbid on. So I think he's going to be a tiger. Let's keep going through here, find some good stuff. Just scroll up really fast. Keep going. This was kind of, maybe this was a Jay Flowers. C5, every team knew we were going to run it, and it was going to be a run between Nick Marshall or Trey Mason. Gus still ran them. Trey had like 304 in the SEC championship game. That's true. The difference is two people could take it to the house each time. Really, three people could take it to the house each time. You had Nick Marshall. You'd have Corey Grant come in on a speed sweep. And then you have Trey Mason. Okay. The difference in that and this offense is you don't have any of those other, you don't have any of those other threats. There is no threat that Thorne is a decent runner, but Thorne's not a runner that you have to incredibly respect. You can make up ground on Thorne. You couldn't do that on Nick Marshall. And this offense is not a read option, really a read option running offense. Like, we don't really run a ton of quarterback read option type plays. It's a lot of RPO stuff, which the RPO is – the R in RPO is a run to the running back. It's not really a similar offense. So that's basically like a wishbone, or that offense was like a wishbone or a triple option type offense that's just kind of out of the spread. And this one's totally different. So it's not totally the same. This is like, it's honestly like an old school pro style offense. And they just not going to let you run. So you either got to run outside the tackle, you got to run inside the tackle, and that's pretty much – it's pretty much a pro-style offense. It's just not the same – it's not really the same type comparison. Do a couple more and we're going to call it a night. Let's see. Let's keep going. Let's see. Quez would have had 42 carries for 79 yards at halftime if Gus was still our coach. War Eagle, Wyoming. Yeah, I know. He loved to pound the rock. Let's keep going. I think I agree with this. This was going back to the Gus comment. NH3425. I think the new trend you're going to start seeing is the old school coaches like Gus go back to coordinator roles, don't want the pressure of head coaching anymore. I agree. Why would you want to be a head coach right now, especially if you're an older head coach? I can see like the Rhett Lashley. I can see like the Kenny Dillingham, like those guys that kind of – it's kind of like when, I was growing up and I was on the pre-internet and post-internet. You know, I had a large portion of my life before the internet, and then I had a huge portion of my life after the internet. So there's been a lot of technological advancements pre and post. I've kind of been able to live both. So I can respect both. I think those type guys can too. I think Dillingham's been in it enough that he's seen it the old way, but he's not been in it long enough the old way that he can't see the new way too. And I think Rhett's the same way. I think you're right. I think you'll see a lot of these older guys become that, maybe not even necessarily coordinators, but become that non-recruiting position coach, senior offensive line coach, senior wide receiver coach, senior associate offensive coordinator, stuff like that. Because you can still only have your allotted amount of coaches that can go on the road. I think you're going to start to see a lot of senior titles when it comes to position coaches and things like that. And then you'll have your younger guy that's your recruiter, your guy that's a go-getter, and he's learning from the quote-unquote senior coach. And then eventually he'll be ushered into either A coordinators or head coaching, or he'll be ushered into that senior position eventually, where that position will really become more of like an NFL type role now that you can have so many hands on the players moving forward. So one more. I want to find one more good one, and then we'll roll. Let's go here. Mr. Beautiful. Auburn basketball. I'm nervous playing at Duke. Mr. Beautiful's been trying to change the subject. He's tired of talking about, hey, the football season's over. Let's go ahead and switch to basketball. Auburn had obviously a great run in Maui, and they showed the world we're legit. Had, I think, three quad one wins, and the last two were utter just domination. Like, they just basically said, we're better than you, and we're going to show you. We put the caboose in for over a minute in the championship game of the Maui Invitational with the lead. Think about that. Auburn went into the Maui Invitational and let a bunch of the walk-ons get PT against during the championship game against Memphis. It's crazy. It's crazy. This team's going to be fun. That's going to be a completely different ball game, a completely different atmosphere that we've never really been around. So I'm curious to see. How Auburn handles the moment, because it's going to be raucous. I like that word. It's going to be a raucous environment, and they're going to get after it. So we'll see what happens. But guys, I really appreciate it. Another great live. It's always fun, and we're going to have a great week. A couple of days till we get to signing day. It's going to be battling. And then I assume after signing day, I'm curious to see how quickly you start seeing coaching changes around the country. Maybe you wait until you should wait until after the portal closes. I don't know. I don't know how the timing works there. I don't know if you're going to make a change, do you make it quickly? And then, so you got somebody in so you can get portal players, or do you wait until the portal closes and kids are enrolled now before you start making changes? I don't know. I don't know how that works. All this stuff is new. All this stuff's new, and we'll have to see what happens. But when it does happen, we're going to talk about it. We're going to have shows about it. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great week. We're going to get it back. We're going to be back again tomorrow and every day this week. We're going to have a lot of basketball stuff this week too. Me and Zip, we got our schedule worked out. So be on the lookout for another hoops pod, a couple of hoops pods this week, and just have some fun. So, guys, really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.